by autumn moonlight, stockpiling food for the coming winter. Up next, we'll hear a couple of salsa Luna tunes from Jesse J and Lawson Rollins.
Thank you. And we are taking a pause from our regular programming, Superior Jazz. This is Leo for KTWH 99.5 FM. It's time for our weekly hospital clinic check-in with Greg Ruberg. Well, we're 8 months into responding to COVID-19. I'm sure you might be a little weary of having this discussion, Greg, but we look forward to getting updates with you every week. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning. You're welcome.
Yeah, so I'm filling in for Katya today, and maybe I overprepared, but I looked a little bit at the lay of the landscape in Lake County, and I see, Greg, that we've had 64 cases confirmed in the last 7 weeks since late August. We have a total of 92 confirmed cases so far of COVID in Lake County, but the 64 in the last 7 weeks, you know, makes for a 1 to 2 a day average in that period, while in the first 6 months of the pandemic, we were averaging barely up to one case a week. So I'm wondering how you put in context the spread of coronavirus here. How do you see it based on the fact that although we've had that uptick in cases, we aren't having the ICU admissions, the more virulent or troublesome cases, and no deaths to date have been reported. So how do you put it in context of where we're at in the spread of coronavirus and what we might be looking forward to in Lake County?
You know, I think there's good news to share, and there's some concerning news to share. And I'll start with the good news. You know, I think when you look back to March of this year, when we were looking at potential surges and trends that could be happening in the near future, Lake County has done a very nice job of really helping to slow the transmission of COVID-19. And that's from things like cloth-based coverings, hand washing, social distancing, all of the things that we've talked about for many, many months. So that's good news. The other, I think, positive part of that is we've had a lot of tourists from out of town and out of state in our community and communities up the shore. We've still been able to keep things under control. So that's great. The concerning news to me and to our staff at the hospital and clinic is really that growth that you talked about in the last 6 weeks. But I think even more importantly, in the past couple of weeks, we've been seeing more and more cases in the community, a lot more community transmission. We'll be posting 94 today. There's a couple more that came in last night, and I know a couple more in area around the county that will be posting Friday and Saturday. So again, I think that those numbers, just there's always a little bit of a lag to that, and so the numbers will keep coming in kind of at that pace that you talked about. We hope that we don't see any big jumps from, you know, 2 or 3 a day up to 8, 10, or 12 a day, which is happening in counties around us and also across the state.
Yes, and of course, we've had quite a change in our rate was almost nil for quite some time, and now we're back up to about a half. We're approaching a half of what the state average is, you know, number of cases per 10,000. So it's something I've been keeping an eye on. I know St. Louis County has certainly had, I don't know if it qualifies as a surge, but they're right on our doorstep, and they're seeing a lot of activity.
Yes, an even more concerning trend is a couple counties to the west, Itasca County. Okay. You know, they're seeing a pretty significant jump, or they had a couple hundred increase over a short period of time. And that's impacting business, healthcare, it's impacting the school over there, sports. And so when we have those kind of increases, there are impacts across the community and across the county.
Right. And an interesting twist on this, Greg, is I saw a report yesterday that our regional hospitals in Duluth are nearing capacity, but not due to admission of COVID cases, but more because they're doing all of those important procedures that had been delayed because of COVID concerns earlier in the year. Is there any concern that there might be some problems there? Those hospital capacities could be overtaken if there was a flurry of serious COVID cases?
Yeah, you know, and this is something I was going to bring up again today, and I've talked about this just briefly before, but I think this is one of the things that people really don't think about. You know, you see that the national news and the local news on COVID and the transmission rates and the 14-day rate and all of that, and you think, well, we're doing a pretty good job, and we haven't had the ICU cases in Lake County. We have not had a death yet. I think the real concerning piece, though, is, again, to your point, is people did delay medical care for quite some time when we basically shut healthcare down, surgery and procedures and clinic visits and all of that. And I think there was an impact to that or a consequence, and we're seeing some of that now. So people are coming into our emergency room more sick than they typically do. We're seeing more clinic visits. We're seeing more chronic conditions. We're seeing just more challenging conditions or diagnoses to get under control. So the issue, and again, not to alarm people, but I think the reality is we've had people come into our ER that have had, I would say, serious medical conditions, emergencies. They need surgery. They need, you know, cardiac procedures. And the regional hospitals are full. And so we aren't able just to simply make a call to a Duluth hospital and say, we've got a patient for you. We're sending them in 5 minutes. Please have be ready. That has always worked well in the past. But because of the delayed care and the and there's some COVID patients, of course, in Duluth, and there's COVID patients in the ICU in Duluth, but that strain is really on the general medical. So it's not going to take us much at this point to overwhelm the system. And I think people... before I was in this role, I always took it for granted that if I had a serious medical condition or a serious accident, I would go to an ER, I could get transferred and have a surgery done, which is always available. When you work in here in the industry, you realize that there are limited resources everywhere, and we do a really nice job of balancing, and we provide really good care. But again, a COVID surge could really put a strain on that's difficult to respond to quickly.
So to be as clear as possible, you haven't yet at Lakeview face the need to transfer somebody beyond Duluth to somewhere else in the regional network?
We have been very close. So we've had a couple of situations where we needed a transfer for a higher level of care, and there just wasn't a bed available in Duluth. And so we were calling the Twin Cities. We were calling other partners across the state to look at air transport or you know, that would be ideal. But again, we were fortunate that a bed opened up and we were able to really recover quickly and provide the care that that patient needed or patients needed. But if you added, you know, 10 COVID patients to our census and in that same thing in Duluth, there just aren't the beds or staff available. And I'll talk about staffing in a second because that's really the key, I think, that we're struggling with.
Yeah, why don't you follow up with some information on the staffing situations?
All right. So one of my primary concerns going into this winter now is just workforce and healthcare and other industry, ambulance transport, that kind of thing. What we're seeing at Lakeview and St. Luke's and Essentia, seeing the same thing, and I would say probably all hospitals in the state, is that there's, because of more widespread community transmission, that's having an impact on our workforce. So for example, you know, we'll have a phone call from one of our employees will get a phone call that one of their children were exposed at school or at daycare, and so they have to be picked up, and then they're out on quarantine. And if both parents are working, one has to stay home, and depending on the situation in the family, that impacts our workforce. And so we're starting to see, unfortunately, in Lake County, it's been very low and manageable, and we're fortunate. But if you start taking out physicians and RNs and rad and radiology techs and people that are critical to providing emergency care and clinic care, we're not very deep in rural healthcare. We don't have a bunch of extra physicians waiting to see patients. You know, we are right sized to the volume that we've typically had, and we've staffed up now for COVID. But there's a point that we just are going to be strained.
Because you're part of the St. Luke's system, are you able to draw from them, or are they facing at the larger facilities the same staffing tensions?
Yeah, so the larger facilities are experiencing almost exactly the same thing, maybe even worse in some cases because the community transmission is higher. But what we've done with our partner at St. Luke's is we've credentialed providers, both physicians, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, to work in both. So if we had a couple of our physicians out on quarantine or with COVID, we would pull in some additional family practice or ER physicians to cover kind of backfill. And if it was the opposite, we'd do the same. We'd send some of our physicians to St. Luke's to help. So it's very much a team approach, a lot of collaboration. But again, it's collaboration between two hospitals or three that are strained in the region. It's not like, you know, one community's full staff and there's no risk. So that, I think, it's just a different conversation because of COVID.
Thanks, Greg. I'm talking today with Greg Ruberg from the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. Greg, the testing regime has gotten more varied and interesting. I wanted to try to break it down a little with you because people may be reading about the onset of saliva testing, a walk-up saliva testing clinic. I think Duluth was the first in the state. There are now weekly no-barrier test sites being put up in different locations, it seems, each week to accept folks coming in with or without symptoms. The state's testing number. There we go. The state's testing numbers have pushed up into the range of 30,000 or more on some days in the last month, and there is also now mention of antigen testing and the results of antigen testings in the Minnesota Department of Health daily reports. Can you kind of give us the lay of the land, fill in the listeners about all these different tests that are now available? They may not any of them be changing what you your test regime at Lakeview, but what are the range of these tests telling us about the pandemic as COVID continues?
Yeah, so I'll start with what we're doing at Lakeview, and this has been fairly consistent for quite some time, and our approach or our strategy is really based on availability of testing supplies. It's still very challenging for us to get certain testing supplies, and some we just can't get. So, for example, we're still doing the PCR testing, which is the send-out testing, where a person will come in, we'll take a sample, we'll package it up, send it to a lab, Mayo Clinic, or other labs, we use Mayo, and then we wait about 3 to maybe 4 to 4.5 days to get a result back. So we're doing lots of them. It is pretty much all day. People are lined up behind the clinic, and they're having this type of test done. So that's the one. We also have a rapid test. It's called an Abbott ID. It's called a preliminary test. So we can test somebody that we think has COVID. If it comes back positive, we trust the result is accurate most of the time. If it comes back negative, we do a follow-up or a confirmatory test with a send-out. So there's some limitations, of course, with that. And then we also have a couple of brand-new analyzers sitting in a box in our lab that we can't use because we cannot get testing supplies. And this would be a more reliable rapid testing analyzer than the Abbott one I just mentioned. So right. Ideally, you could test that 45 minutes later, you've got a result, and you can manage COVID in your community much more effectively. But we just cannot get tests for it. We've tried everything. When you mentioned the testing at the DEC, I think that's another great strategy for the community. So what I've been telling businesses, nonprofits, or other organizations is if you can't meet the testing criteria medically at Lakeview, which we serve all of Lake County, then certainly encourage your employees or your partners to go to the DEC and have the saliva testing, because you can be asymptomatic and be tested there, which we don't test asymptomatic people unless they've been exposed. So I think that's just one more tool. And the reality is we have to have a really robust testing strategy across the state to really get a handle on COVID-19. Real-time testing, quick results, not waiting 3-4 days. I keep hearing situations where people will be tested, they'll be out and about somewhere, they'll come back as a positive, and then the business has to shut down. Well, they shouldn't be out and about if they've been tested for COVID. But again, we have very little control on that.
Right. So I just wanted to give you a chance to clarify the criteria for being tested at Lakeview.
Yeah, so if you're symptomatic, so there's that list that we've shared about the COVID symptoms, so things like sore throat, body aches, fever, runny nose that's different than allergies, those kind of things. So if you're symptomatic and it meets those COVID-related symptoms, we will test you. We have a physician or a provider order. The other criteria would be a direct exposure to somebody who is confirmed COVID positive. So, for example, if you were within 6 feet of somebody for more than 15 minutes without proper PPE, so most of the time a mask, that would be considered a high-risk interaction. And then if they tested positive, then we could test you for COVID. The limiting factor or challenge with that always comes in is people will call and say, I was exposed to somebody 2 days ago that just tested positive for COVID. I need to be tested. But we've always talked about this incubation period is you don't develop COVID overnight. So that could be 5 days, 8 days, or up to 14 days later that you develop symptoms. So, again, we try to use those resources correctly so we don't waste them. But, again, being aggressive enough to control the spread of COVID.
Thank you, Greg. That's great clarification there. I did mention that antigen test, and it may not be relevant to tracking who's coming down with COVID. It seems like it's telling us who has been exposed to the coronavirus. I'm just curious as to what we're trying to take away from antigen testing and who is having that done for what reasons.
Yeah, so we're not doing any antigen testing in-house at Lakeview. I think the benefit to antigen testing is exactly what you said, is who's been exposed to COVID. We know there are a number of people that have had COVID and don't even know. We've had situations that people were tested for like pre-procedure or pre-surgery and came back as positive, and they said, I had no idea. I would have never come in or been checked. And so that's concerning. I think about also workplaces or long-term care facilities to think about is looking at that antigen testing to see who's had it, what the reaction was, and then who else got it around them. I think there's a huge benefit. The challenge, though, on that is, again, we've seen cases nationally where people have had COVID, recovered, probably tested negative, and then get it again. You know, there's this kind of thought right now, it's about 3 months that you can have kind of immunity to it or you won't get it again. But it sounds from the evidence or the science that you can get it that second time. So again, antigen testing will play a role in kind of sorting all of that out.
Thanks. And we unfortunately are also in flu season now, or, you know, on the calendar, we would expect the possibility of an onset of flu season and, of course, a campaign, public awareness campaign. The Get Flu Shot seems to be pretty important in the face of COVID. What's been the experience at Lakeview? Are folks actually coming in and getting their flu shots?
Yes, so we've given more flu shots already than we've given in many, many years past at this point in the season. So we've been, it's been pretty consistent. We ordered a lot of it, knowing that this was going to be a challenge, and we got right down to a pretty low supply last week. And the challenge with that is we had a flu clinic for the community on a Saturday morning, and yes. So we were hopeful. We borrowed some flu vaccine from our partners, and so we had plenty to do the clinic. We have another one coming. There's also some other community testing sites. So patients have been great about getting flu shot early, and there's three different types of a flu shot. There's the regular, there's the flu block, and then there's the high dose for over 65. We're also doing a big push internally. Our system at St. Luke's is now requiring mandatory flu vaccination for all healthcare workers employed by the system. And so that was rolled out at St. Luke's a couple of weeks ago. It's been rolled out at Lakeview this week now, with more information coming out today. Again, trying to protect every single patient, family member, and employee in their family that we can.
Thanks. Maybe this shouldn't have to be, but could you just make the case for somebody who's been reluctant to get their flu shots the last number of years, why they want to do that this year?
Yeah, this is one of the most challenging discussions that we have. And so we know there are our employees and there are community members that, you know, don't believe in the flu shot, are apprehensive, or have just concerns about getting it. And what we try to do is educate based on the science, and that's hard now because of all the kind of political noise that's happening across the country. And I think there's just mistrust in government and public health. And so that's just a big challenge. You know, what I always tell people is I've gotten my flu shot for many, many, many years, every year, being a caregiver when I was working in physical therapy, and now when I'm out on the floor to protect myself, my family, and our patients. And I think some of the concerns about mercury in flu vaccination has been addressed. There's preservative-free vaccine. There's other options that would really help that. I think there's an obligation as a healthcare professional to be vaccinated against influenza as we treat those that are vulnerable. That's what it comes down to for us.
Thanks, Greg. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's a walk-in flu shot clinic on Saturday the 17th at Lakeview and Two Harbors?
That is correct.
Okay, so that's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., I believe.
That is correct. That's the second one, yep.
Okay. And do people need to remember to wear a mask, and do they need a form of insurance with them when they arrive?
Yes, what we ask people to do is, again, wear a mask when they come in. We'll screen at the door. It's very efficient where you're not mixed or sitting with other people. We get people in and out in a safe and effective way. And, again, bring your insurance card if you have it. If you don't have insurance, that does not prohibit you from coming. We will still give the vaccination, and we encourage you still to come in.
Well, thanks for that, Greg. And if you have any healthy thought to leave us with, any other developments that you want to share with the community, here's your chance.
I would just encourage people to keep doing what they've been doing. When I'm out in the community at the grocery store or gas station, I see people being responsible with masks on, hand sanitizer, keeping their distance. And we hear of situations where people are in big groups not following, and all we can do is educate and encourage and recommend. And, I think it really comes down to is following that advice could really save somebody's life that you don't know, both directly from COVID or indirectly for another medical condition. So I think we can all do our part and set a good example, and we just have to get through this, and we will. And next year, hopefully, will be much different.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Greg, and thanks to all of those essential workers in your system for plugging ahead for the last, it seems like forever, but this too shall pass. And thanks so much for joining us on KTWH.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye now. That's Greg Ruberg from Lakeview Clinic and Hospital in Two Harbors with this week's hospital clinic check-in on KTWH. We're going to go back now to the last